I've talked about lifestyle creep in the past, and y'all had a lot of thoughts, so I thought I would do a refresher or a part two to talk a little bit more about lifestyle creep, maybe not being all bad. I'm going to talk about what lifestyle creep is, just a quick refresher, how it can harm us, and how we can build in some treats or rewards so we feel like we can actually enjoy the benefit of earning more money or having less debt and have life be easier and more values aligned for us. My name is Lindsay. I'm a financial therapist and founder of the financial wellness business, Mind Money Balance. I help people at the intersection of money and mental health so they can improve their financial wellness and make money feel good for them. Lifestyle creep is what happens when a person starts earning more money and then starts spending more money. Instead of this additional income or decreased debt that allows them to have more breathing room in their month-to-month spending plan being something that feels supportive and powerful, we want to have that cash flow and that breathing room and that wiggle room so we can do more things that feel good for us and also make sure that we are putting on our financial oxygen masks and funding things like our Life Happens Fund and goals and dreams that matter and are important to us. When I think about cash flow, I am thinking about how much money is coming in and how much money is going out on a monthly basis. When we earn a raise, we should, in theory, have more cash flow because we're earning more money, but our expenses aren't changing. If we pay down a significant amount of debt, such as a student loan, credit card debt, or a vehicle that we finance, that can also free up cash flow so we have more breathing room and more wiggle room. Lifestyle inflation, often what can happen is those little treats that used to be little treats suddenly become everyday things. And before you know it, what can happen with that additional income or that decreased debt is that all of a sudden that additional money doesn't really feel like it because it's flowing out towards things that have now become a part of your daily life. For example, maybe you love dining out and before you got your raise or paid down a good chunk of debt, you would go out to eat once or twice a month at a nice restaurant and it was a really special treat. Then when you got this raised or paid down debt, then when your cash flow opened up a little bit more, that once or twice a month treat started to become a weekly treat or a twice a week treat. And before you know it, it's just the way that you spend on food. You have stopped going grocery shopping as much, you stopped meal planning as much, and going out to eat has become just the norm. To be clear, there's nothing wrong with going out to eat, but in this example of lifestyle creep, if going out to eat on occasion used to feel good and exciting, but now it's the norm or the baseline and it's making your day-to-day or month-to-month spending feel tight, then that is lifestyle creep. When folks who have experienced lifestyle creep come in to work with me, they often feel frustrated and confused because they say things like, oh, I thought I'd be happy when I earned more, or I thought I'd feel better when I paid off my debt. And there may be that initial excitement or that initial rush of endorphins when you pay off that loan or when you get that raise, because the excitement of accomplishing something generally feels good. But what people are getting at when they bring this frustration to me is they thought in general, things would just feel better. And oftentimes when I'm talking with them about what's going on, they share with me that these things that used to be one-offs are the norm or are the baseline. And they thought that having those treats become the baseline would inherently increase their happiness, contentment, or joy. This is why I think we need to be really mindful about lifestyle creep. To be clear, I think having more cash flow in a month-to-month basis is generally a net positive thing. And I also don't think that as we earn more money, we should just funnel it all away and not enjoy it. I absolutely think we should enjoy the additional cash flow that we have. And in order to do that, I think this is where doing a little values assessment can be incredibly helpful. Let's say you value spending quality time and having a lot of connection outside of your working hours. When you experience an increase in your cash flow, you may intentionally decide to spend more money outsourcing some of those tasks that take away from your ability to spend time with family, such as maybe outsourcing your laundry and having once a month wash and fold service. You might decide to buy pre-chopped fruits or vegetables to help expedite your meal prep process. Those things are going to feel really good and in general will help to increase that overall sensation of feeling good when you earn more money, because they are aligned with the values in financially supporting some of those tasks that had been weighing you down. Now, if we take those same values of connectedness and quality time when we have more monthly cash flow and we're not spending on those things, but instead we're spending on things like spa days or spending more time getting your hair done or spending more time buying sneakers that only impact you or better you, you might not feel so good. And that's where it's really important that when your cash flow frees up a bit, that you're spending that additional money in alignment with your values so it doesn't feel icky. The other thing that happens when we take something that used to be a novelty and it suddenly becomes our baseline is that the dopamine hit that we used to get becomes less powerful. What I mean by this is we get dopamine not from exactly the exciting thing happening, but the anticipation of it happening and the novelty of it happening. When the anticipation of getting a meal out and the novelty of going out to eat no longer are things that you can anticipate because it just sort of happens in your life, or they're not novel because you're eating out all the time, the amount of dopamine being released is just lower. That's why I think it's so helpful to continue having these little treats so that you can get that dopamine hit that you're so desperately craving without hurting your financial goals and without feeling like you're on this treadmill of, I need more money so I feel better so I can get the thing. But then when I get the thing, I think I want a different thing. So I earn more money or make more money to get this other thing. And it also doesn't make me feel happy. So how can we increase the dopamine and build in some treats when it comes to earning more money? I have a few ideas. One way is with time-based treats. What this means is you give yourself a time or a time frame in which you are allowed to have this particular type of treat. So maybe once a month, if you're a big sneakerhead and you want to go shopping, maybe once a month you give yourself full permission to do a deep dive into Depop or StockX and find new sneakers that just speak to your soul. Great. I'm obsessed with that for you. Or you can give yourself a quarterly bigger treat to look forward to where you do something like a long weekend getaway. And that might indulge your values of things like novelty, newness, and exploration. That's a way to get some additional dopamine from the novelty and excitement is by giving yourself permission to do it at certain timeframes. Another way to reward yourself on this journey is to do a bucket of treats. And when I say bucket of treats, you can do this in any way. But basically, the idea is write down all of the different things that get you super excited that are in a similar price point. Write them down on a piece of paper, throw them in a bucket, write them on a popsicle stick, throw them in a mason jar. But what you do is every so often when you're feeling that itch to have something new or exciting, you reach your hand into the bag or the jar and you pull something out and it gives you something that you are allowed to do in a way that treats yourself. And it gives you that newness and novelty because you might not exactly remember what you put in. This can be even more fun if you have roommates or if you have a partner who are joining you on this journey because they can jot down their ideas too and throw them in. And then that adds even more novelty and excitement. You might have a bucket for $10 rewards all the way up to $100 rewards or whatever you want to do. And when you're feeling that itch to do something fun and new, you can grab something out of that $10 reward. And it might be go to the new bakery and grab some new baked goods. It might be stream a new movie. It might be buy your dog a new toy, right? There could be a bunch of different things that you could do for that 10 bucks. Over in the $100 category, this could be things like going out to a fun dinner, treating your friends to take out and hosting a board game night. It could be taking a friend to go get pedicures. It could be anything like that, but that gives you the excitement of something new and allows you to enjoy some of that additional cash flow. The third way to make treats a little bit more exciting is to give yourself permission to have milestone rewards along the way. When we are working on a goal that takes a long time, such as paying down a big amount of debt or saving up for an emergency fund, we often don't allow ourselves to celebrate all of those milestones along the way. We often only let ourselves celebrate when we've achieved that goal. And because that goal can feel so big and so overwhelming, even if we are moving in the right direction to hit it or achieve it, it might feel not so fun because we don't really pat ourselves on the back until we've achieved it. Instead, I want you to give yourself milestone rewards along the way. For example, if you're saving up $1,000 in an emergency fund, I want you to treat yourself every time you hit a $100 saved milestone. This does not mean go out and spend $100, to be clear, but it could be texting a friend to let them know that you hit that milestone. It could be requesting a specific meal if you've got roommates to help celebrate that. It could be you get to be the person to pick the movie that you rent. There are so many different ways, but giving yourself permission to celebrate along the way can prevent that lifestyle creep from feeling kind of blasé. And the third thing is to practice intentionality and mindfulness as you move into having more cash flow. Intentionality and mindfulness does not necessarily mean sitting down and meditating for 10 to 20 minutes at a time, but it is about acknowledging where you were, where you are now, and practicing some gratitude for the growth that you've had along the way. Much like I mentioned with the dopamine section of this podcast, a lot of us don't do a really good job of acknowledging the work that we've put in, the effort that we've made, the different restrictions that we've adhered to in order to get where we are. And acknowledging some of those challenges can be really helpful as we move through earning more money and having more cash flow. And it can also be helpful when we're practicing this mindfulness and intentionality to also think about how we are using that additional cash flow for the things that matter to us outside of us. So I mentioned in the first thing with your personal values, making sure that you're spending in alignment with your values. But as we have more cash flow, research also shows that when we give of our time or we give money to causes that matter to us, it feels really good. So as we're earning more, maybe give yourself permission to donate a bit more to causes that really matter to you, or to grab an extra armful of vegetables at the farmer's market, right? Thinking about how can I spend in alignment with my values and be really mindful and really intentional about this additional cash flow. So those are the things I want you to try out if you are struggling with earning more and not really feeling good about it. Lifestyle creep is not all bad. I hope that as we earn money, we use it to fuel the things that matter most to us, to bring us some joy and excitement. And I hope these tips help you too. Your support of this podcast means the absolute world. If you love listening, I would love if you could help me out by quickly rating and reviewing this podcast on the podcast player you're using right now. This quick but meaningful action helps to support the show and it helps others find it too. I absolutely love connecting with my listeners. So if something resonated from today's episode, take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and be sure to tag me on Instagram at mindmoneybalance. This podcast simply wouldn't be possible without the help of others. Thank you to RJ Basillo for masterfully editing this podcast, to Liberty Sales, who creatively and brilliantly helps market the show to help those who need it find it by leveraging her public health communication skills. And thank you to Leslie Tagorda and Jeffrey Campanero of Star Powered, who've infused their creative genius into the cover and episode art with the unique magic of the Astro Brand astrology-based branding process. Disclaimer. Everything shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host nor the guests are providing legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or any other professional advice. If you are seeking professional help, please find it. See you next time.